We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. This is one of those nights that if I were broadcasting from a home studio, I would be screaming into my pillow. what other reaction do you have a night after this? I got all excited. This is. Let me replay for you what exactly happened. I was at my desk getting ready for the show, listening to the call with Mike Shannon and John Rooney. And I'm sitting there, and then I hear, oh, the ball's loose. Here comes Garcia. And I run because the radio broadcast airs before the TV broadcast. And I wanted to watch it. So I run down the hall real quick to where the TV is showing here in the newsroom, just with enough time to see Garcia tripping up. And it was at that point I completely became demoralized. And I knew that I would be screaming into a pillow later after a play like that, which hurts. We're going to spend the 11 o'clock hour, at least the start of it, talking about tomorrow. It's a big day. So at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, you'll find that the Kavanaugh-Christine Blasey Ford hearing will begin. KMOX will be airing the hearings tomorrow from the opening statement starting at 9 a.m., which is a big deal. So you're going to be able to hear it all tomorrow, which is a really big deal. If you're out, you're going to be able to catch it all right here on KMOX. You don't have to worry about clamoring around the TV. You're at work, stream it at KMOX.com. It makes it easy that way. Or the radio.com app. You're in the car, you can listen to it there too. If you want to listen to it from at home, you can do it that way too. Just keep in mind, programming alert, we will be airing the hearing starting with the opening statements at 9 a.m., no matter how long it goes. I don't know how long they plan on taking it. What if they go until the start of Overnight America? I guess we could still be... They probably won't go till about 11 o'clock Eastern, but I guess they could. They're planning on a few hours for each of them, right? There might be a break some point in the middle, which from what I understand reading the emails, KMOX, if they do like a lunch break, we'll break but continue with coverage. And then when the break ends, we'll come back. And I remember seeing the back. This is radio geeky stuff. I remember reading the emails back and forth. Tell the traffic department to get ready because we're going to miss a lot of commercials tomorrow airing this testimony, which ultimately this is more important to get this information out on the airwaves and broadcast this sort of thing because it's a very important Supreme Court hearing that everyone's engaged in. So get ready for that tomorrow. All right, so 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a lot about that too. But before we get to that, there was something else I wanted to get to, and this was a guest I wanted to bring on yesterday. We didn't have time because things pushed a little late because of the Cardinals. Joining us now from the University of Maryland, a distinguished professor, Michelle Gelfand. Thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
So I want to talk about rule makers and rule breakers. This is kind of a fun thing, a little bit when you think about it. But you look at it as a cultural way. You can look across different cultures across the world. And you came up with this whole idea, and I had to look at you. You have a Wikipedia page. You're a big deal because you have a Wikipedia page. But you're credited with something, the cultural tightness and looseness concept. Can you explain that?
Yes, sure. So, you know, often it's the case that we think about our divides in rather superficial ways. We think about red versus blue or rural versus urban or east versus west. And I wanted to know, you know, is there a deeper cultural code that's driving our behavior, driving our differences? And, you know, culture is this really strange thing because it's omnipresent. It's all around us, but it's invisible. We take it for granted. We don't really think about how culture is affecting our behavior. So over the last couple of decades, I've been studying hundreds of cultures from ancient societies like the ancient Aztecs and Sparta to modern societies and states and even from the military to Silicon Valley to find out more about this deeper cultural code, which I call tightness and looseness.
Cultural code. So it's kind of like Da Vinci Code, but something more relatable and not Tom Hanks related.
Yeah, that's right. It's a code because it's like a program that we're operating through, but we don't really realize it. What's fascinating is, you know, all groups, all of us follow social norms, and that just means rules for behavior that tend to be unwritten. So from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, we're following social rules. You know, we wear clothes when we go outside, most of us. You know, we drive on the right side of the road or the left, depending on where we're living. We don't face the back of elevators, most of us. And, you know, we don't sing in libraries. We're following rules all the time. But what I found out through all this research is that some groups have really strong rules. They have norms that they're following and punishments for people that don't follow them. They're what I call tight cultures or rule makers, and others are much more loose. They tolerate much more behavior, and they're very permissive. And it turns out this distinction is pretty important in terms of how it's affecting our lives, from our parenting to our politics, from our nations to our neurons. And I've been I wrote the book Rulemakers, Rule Breakers to really describe why do these things develop? Why do some groups tighten loose, and what are the consequences? And how do we use this idea, social norms, tighten loose to better our worlds?
Yeah, it's when I look at the United States, I feel like they have a pretty wide spectrum of social norms. So it's for some people, it's like, you know, one person's norm is another person's like, oh, that's really weird. Or and then it's vice versa. But the spectrum's so large because we have so much liberty in the United States. And I think, do other countries have just maybe a more narrow spectrum, so there's not a lot of variation from it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you go to Singapore, which they call the fine city because there's so many punishments or fines you can get for basic things like spitting or chewing gum or, you know, playing loud music. And there's not a lot of variation in Singapore. And then you come over to the United States, and we have a lot of variation. We tend to veer on the looser side, but we tend to have some pockets of tightness and pockets of looseness. And what's really fascinating is that differences at the national level, like between Japan and Germany and Singapore that tend to be tight versus Greece and the Netherlands and New Zealand that tend to be loose, they tend to parallel these differences with state variation in terms of what causes them and their consequences.
Interesting. Professor Michelle Gelfand joining us here on KMOX. You've looked at this on a historical standpoint, too. The United States, I mean, there's been a lot of changes since the 1950s. I wouldn't say that we were as loose in 1950 or 19, well, I guess maybe after 1950 than we are today.
Yeah, that's right. You can see, you know, times when we've had rapid pendulum shifts from, you know, very rule-based societies that had a lot of order and a lot of predictability, like in the 50s to the 60s, where you saw sort of an unleashing of looseness. Much more creativity, but much more disorganized. And that's really something that we find across many different places, that tight cultures have a lot of advantages. They have less crime. They're more organized. They have more self-control, less debt, less gambling. They're even less fat, actually, we found. And loose cultures tend to have more disorganized social action, and they have more self-control problems. But on the flip side, loose cultures have the market on openness. They tend to be open to different ideas. They're more creative. They're more open to different types of people. And they're more adaptable to change. And tight cultures have problems with those kinds of criteria. They're less open. They have more ethnocentrism. And they have more inertia. So really, depending on your vantage point, there's a real trade-off, both advantages and disadvantages with tight and loose.
Yeah. The book, Rule Makers, Rule Breakers, How Tight and Loose Cultures Wire Our World. And you mentioned, too, sometimes how tight or loose the environment is can actually play a factor in a partisan divide, which we see here a lot in the United States.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we typically think about our distinctions in terms of conservative or liberal or red versus blue. But when we kind of back up and really look at the norms that people are following in different areas of the world and in different areas of the country, we could see that actually it maps quite well to tight loose. It tends to be the case that tight cultures evolve because they feel threat or they have been threatened. So, for example, Japan has been hit with many, many natural disasters and it has had a lot of conflict in its history and it has many people per square mile. So the logic is that tight cultures need stronger rules to coordinate to survive, and loose groups have less threat and they have more permissiveness as a result. They can afford to be less rule-oriented. And the same applies to the United States. We found that the states that are tighter, for example, the South and some parts of the Midwest, they have far more threat. They have a lot more natural disasters. They have more disease threat. They have less food security. And the looser states tend to be more diverse, and they tend to have less threat. So the logic of tight, loose, and wide evolves tends to be very similar when it comes to nations or states or even social class. Instead of thinking about this as differences in bank accounts, we can look at how tight or loose are people from different social classes and why. And it might help us to have more empathy for our differences.
It is a different way to look at the world. Joining us from the University of Maryland, a distinguished professor there, Michelle Gelfand. She's got a new book, Rule Makers, Rule Breakers, How Tight and Loose Cultures Wire the World. I want to know, through her research, how other cultures look at us, because that seems to be a big point of contention when we look at the outside world. We continue our conversation with her. We continue our conversation with her next on Overnight America KMOX.
Ryan Recker, Overnight America, the two best things in your night on KMOX.
I can't wait to get to this Kavanaugh stuff at 11 o'clock. We're going to do that. And this just dropped on Fox News by Greg Ray. Ahead of pivotal Senate hearing, witnesses surfaced to say Christine Ford may have mistaken them for Kavanaugh. Wow, I wonder what that's all about. We'll get to that starting at 11 o'clock. But first, tight cultures normally have strong social norms, little tolerance for deviation. Loose cultures have weak social norms and are highly permissive. What does that mean? Well, University of Maryland distinguished professor Michelle Gelfand joins us now. She's got that new book out that talks about how tight and loose cultures wire our world. Every once in a while, we look at some heavy shifts that different cultures have. Even after, like, 9/11, for example, the United States became more involved with terrorism across the globe, even though we were always working with that. What you saw was all of these cultures, they always had this big hate for Western culture, and they kept bringing up this whole idea that they hate everything we stand for. And then, you know, people are worried that we might go in and change their culture, we might go in regime changes, you know, we want to go in and Americanize the rest of the world, and people put up the red flags for that sort of thing too. So how do other cultures, I guess, look at the American culture compared to how we may be looking at other people's cultures?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, Herodotus, the ancient historian who lived years and thousands of years ago, made this observation in his book, The History, that all cultures are ethnocentric, meaning they see the world the way they experience it, and they think it's correct. And I think that's universal. Like, all cultures think that they're the right way to do things. But if we were accidentally born in the Middle East or in Singapore, we might understand why the cultures vary so much and have more empathy. I think your question about how do people view us, I think, for example, the Middle East, where I do a lot of research, I mean, I think people have an ambivalent feelings about the United States. They love the United States in many ways, but then also there's a bittersweetness to that, in that often it's the case that we have kind of this impatience. We and de Tocqueville actually notices about us. We go to other places, we have the best of intentions, but we tend to have a short time perspective, and then we leave, and we tend to sometimes, you know, we can leave cultural vacuums in places that are then invite tight forces, like what's happened with ISIS. ISIS, of course, is multiply determined, but no question that ISIS was originally welcomed in areas where there was total disorder and normlessness or extreme looseness. And so I think it's something that we have to be mindful of when we go abroad and we're trying to help with our best intentions, to understand the cultural context and its history and the culture and the language. And I think that it will make for far better international relations. Culture is often ignored because we send people abroad who are really technically competent, who are super smart, but not necessarily who have the highest cultural intelligence.
Yeah. Professor Michelle Gelfand joining us on KMOX. I've done, you know, every time I go to a workplace, they always want to put you through, like, these employee training things. And or if you're, like, in the management, they want to send you to the, like, management training. And then you take these quizzes, and here you are on the grid, and you're over here, and this is how you deal with people over on this side of the grid. And this is how, you know, these are very common in, like, corporate structures. So is there a way you can take something like this and help people understand other people better?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that the book describes, Rule Makers, Rule Breakers, is not just how cultures vary, but why they vary. So if we can understand, you know, why it is that Japan, for example, is so tight, or Singapore, because of the threat experience throughout its long history, we can understand why rules really matter in those contexts, that they're important. Like, Americans tend to, with, of course, lots of exceptions, think about rules should be broken. We tend to think about them as kind of a nuisance. Even we look, zoom into the U.S. and we look at the working class versus the upper class, the working class tends to be in a very threatening context, both in terms of avoiding poverty and also living in areas that are more dangerous and working in more dangerous jobs. So we can understand that for these populations, rules matter and they really help. It can help us to understand each other far better than just these kind of superficial distinctions.
Yeah. You like to consider yourself a rule breaker. That's kind of like, you're like, I'm the rule breaker professor. You come in, you're wearing like the leather jacket and things.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. In the book, I talk about our own tight and loose mindset.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some people veer on this kind of scale that I have that's on my website. You can assess yourself in terms of where you fall on a tight, loose spectrum. But some people, you know, they really pay a lot of attention to rules. They want to avoid mistakes. They're managing their impulses a lot. And they don't like disorder. They like a lot of structure. Other people are much more loose. They are less attentive to rules. They're risk takers. They're more impulsive. And they're more comfortable with ambiguity. And so this is what I call the tight, loose mindset. And what's really fascinating is to think about how our mindsets differ from people around us, our spouses, our kids, our colleagues, and to think about how it's causing some conflict sometimes and how to negotiate those differences with our loved ones. I mean, I think about it when I go to Thanksgiving dinner with my in-laws or, you know, when I'm in context with people that I know really vary on the continuum from me. And I think it's eminently something we can be aware of and then understand it and use it to better our relationships.
Cool. Well, like I said, you have a Wikipedia page, so that's a big deal. I mean, that's like and there's a photo of you on there too. Yeah, not everyone gets a Wikipedia page, so that's a big deal. So the book is out now, Rule Makers, Rule Breakers, and University of Maryland Distinguished Professor Michelle Gelfand. If people want to find more about your work, where can they go?
My website is michellegelfand.com. And, you know, I give an excerpt from the book there so that you can see what it's about and some comments on the book. And also, I have a place where you can send me some tight, loose stories in your own life. I really want to hear from your listeners how they see this distinction playing out in their households, in what they're reading in the newspaper, in their organizations, because I want to really learn from you.
Yeah, okay. So you're always doing research.
Yeah.
The book is out. You don't
yeah,
have to do this.
Much.
Yeah, see, you're always working. Once you put the book out, you're supposed to be able to sit back, relax, hit the refresh button on the Amazon page to see if your ranking's going up. And this is the time you're supposed to be able to relish that, enjoy it, because the hard work's over, but you're still out there working.
Well, you know, they say, like, if you find a passion, you never work a day in your life. And I really feel like, you know, doing what I do, it's really fascinating. Get to learn about different cultures and about our own culture. And I think toward the end of the book, I talk about how we can use this to better our world. Like, how do we tighten up places that need to be tightened, like the internet, or how we loosen up contexts that need to be loosened? So I'm really interested in how we can apply this. And so it's something that I think about, you know, pretty much 24/7.
I see. So you're always one for the rules, but you're looking to break them, maybe. I don't know.
You got it.
Michelle Gelfand, the book Rule Makers, Rule Breakers. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks for having me.
And she joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. That was a fun one. So we're going to spend the next hour, because I wanted to make sure I had enough time on this, with the latest on the Kavanaugh hearings, which tomorrow you'll hear on KMOX starting at 9 a.m. Central when they have the opening statements. You'll be able to hear everything on KMOX. So you don't even have to turn the radio station. You don't have to turn. Like, if you're at work, you can just listen to it on the radio and not have to think you're missing anything out. You can. It's going to be something worth listening to. It's going to be a lot of information in it, too. You'll be one of those geeks. Yeah, I remember telling my wife, hey, honey, do you want to watch this with me? She goes, no. Well, okay. I know some people do, and I know a lot of people do. And listen to this headline. This is just breaking from Fox News, or at least on 54 minutes ago from Fox News. Greg Ree posted this story. Are you ready for this headline? Ahead of pivotal Senate hearing, witnesses surface to say Christine Ford may have mistaken them for Kavanaugh. Ooh, that's a twist. I have a couple of clips from CNN. Chris Cuomo and Avenatti. Oh my, what a crazy interview that was. We're going to play that too. The latest next hour in your calls on Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.